tonight, we are headed to the 313. That's right, Detroit Rock City, with a special guest. It's time for Dingers.
This is Dingers, way more than fantasy baseball. We keep it real when we talk and knock it straight out the park. Let's see the stats. What's the average draft position? What kind of plays you making? Check the wins above replacement. Check the lineups and the points. This I gotta see. What's your path to victory? Are they aiming for a dynasty? Get points going head to head. Please don't do me no favors. We're always watching waivers. Ain't no minor league. This is major. Yeah, Dingers. Let's go.
Welcome to Dingers, the only fantasy baseball podcast for smart people. It's not just Nomar Mazara that wins you championships. That's why week in and week out, we're delivering tips and strategies to help you live that straight up OG lifestyle. Tyler Childs joined again by Robbie Baseball from the murder room. Robbie, what's happening tonight, buddy? How you doing?
I'm great, Ty. This has been a long delay to press record. So I know everybody's excited. We have special guest with us tonight, Michael Govier, I want to get it all correct. The host of the Enrico Palazzo podcast, which I love the name, love the reference. I don't know if everybody knows the reference. So Michael, why don't you tell us why it's named what it is? And then you can tell us about your non-fantasy baseball related podcast as well, please.
Well, thank you for having me on, guys. I've been looking forward to this. You guys do great work. You don't sing so well all the time, but you've got a lot of heart, a lot of passion and desire, and that's what I commend you for more than anything else. But you're right, Robbie, people don't know who Enrico Palazzo is. I get asked this more than I thought I would, and I should have been aware of this because it's a 32-ish year
it's
old,
an
1988
older film.
Yeah, Naked Gun came out in 1988. It's been a while, so The Naked Gun's a film. It's a total farce. It's like your classic slapstick comedy. It's hilarious. Stars Leslie Nielsen. It's just not. It's got O.J. Simpson in it before he was a murderer. So
yeah, O.J. Simpson, the movie star.
Yes,
that's who's in it. O.J. Simpson, the movie star.
Hertz rental car guy. I mean, he was.
Isotoners.
Loved O.J. Yeah, people loved O.J. Simpson. So, anyways, he's in the movie, and the movie ends with this like climactic third act type baseball scene. It's not just one scene. It's like 25 minutes. And it ends at Anaheim Stadium and the California Angels, the actual California Angels back then, playing the Seattle Mariners, the real uniforms, no fake teams. It's all real. And it's got like 10,000 sportscasters, Dick Vitale, Dick Enberg, Mel Allen. They're all there. It's all a farce. It's hilarious. And anyways, this guy stands up from the stands and he points out when Leslie Nielsen removes his umpire mask because he's hiding. He's a detective. He's undercover. He's trying to find a killer who could or may not be Reggie Jackson, by the way. And he says, "Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo." And that's where it comes from. That's it. It's that simple. So,
and the fact that people don't know that is just, I mean, get a life, right? But you do host the Cinema 9 podcast. And you recorded tonight for that, right?
I absolutely did. It's funny you mentioned that, Robbie. We did our 50th episode this evening, which was
congratulations.
Dark Man. Thank you. You ever seen Dark Man? Have you guys? Dark Man?
No, but that's what I saw. So I wanted to ask you about it. What is that?
I had never seen it either. Sometimes I've never seen the movies that we pick because each week we do like a, does it hold up? It's like the main focus. We do some other side bits, but the majority of each show is dedicated to breaking down a film to decide whether it holds up or not. And Dark Man is a 1990 film. So it's dated.
Okay.
Possible it doesn't hold up, but it stars Liam Neeson. Before his Taken days, he was playing Dark Man. Dark Man is a Batman ripoff, essentially.
Okay.
This guy, it's like shot for shot RoboCop / Batman remake. I thumbs downed it. I said it did not hold up. That was my opinion. So,
well, you would do well with our friend Chris McBrien, former dear Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah, he's great at singing.
He's not just at singing, which yes, he is great at singing. Yes, I do suck at singing. He also has the popular podcast Pop Goes Your World, where he and host Derek Myers discuss a movie from his era, which would be, well, not his era, but something from today, which is pop culture, and something from typically like the 80s or somewhere further back. And they break down a movie. So each one picks one each week. So I had said to Chris, if you ever want to do something fun, Mighty Ducks, I'm your man. And he was kind enough to do it and throw me the bone. And I'm very excited because in 10 days or so, the new Mighty Ducks is coming out on Disney. It's a show, and I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
But his
Who's
podcast
playing,
covers that.
you know, what's his name? Well, Emilio Estevez's character.
The Mighty Duckman himself? Emilio is in it. He's in it. He is there.
Gordon Bombay is back.
He's there, yes. And the lady from Gilmore Girls who plays Gilmore, I don't know her name.
The lady from Gilmore Girls. Who could forget?
Lorelai. Lorelai, is that the mom? Anyway,
I never watched that show.
Yeah, I was trying to describe it to somebody else, and that's as far as I got. But anyway, so there's people in it. I don't know or care what it is. But anyway, that's another one. So, and then you also have First Day Pod.
That's right. And by the way, when we named, hey, it's a Rico Palazzo Fantasy Baseball Podcast, Chris Deary, my partner on that show, he was opposed. He's like, that's a stupid name. It's too long. And he was not wrong. It is a dumb, it's way too long. It ends up being referred to most of the time as Palazzo Pod because it's just alliteration. Right. It's easier, but it's a clunky name, but I wanted to give something that was different. I'm like, I love that movie. It's funny. I wanted something that stood out. But with First Day Pod, it's more of like mental health and addiction. I have my own experience. You know, I was addicted to opioids, ruined my life. I'm good now. You know, I'm in recovery over 3.5 years. So it's great to be back where I am now. But I like, thank you. I like to share that experience with others because I know there's plenty of other people right now who need help at this very moment. So the goal is me, my Canadian girlfriend, of course, Leanne, hello. And that's really her last name. Hello. H-E-L-L-O.
How polite.
It really is. Yeah, they're the hellos. You know, they are. They're so Canadian and sweet. They're like your classic, you know.
Well, we're Canadian and sweet. So what are you saying about us?
You are. You're right. But like, they're just too Canadian. They're so kind and wonderful. They're great people. They
too
are.
Too Canadian.
Too I'm Canadian. So sorry. Yes, they are. But she and I do it together. Yes, we're lovers, but we also care about mental health and we have our own addiction issues. And we just hope if we can do the show and like one person can hear it. I know it sounds cheesy. You might think
You're helping somebody.
It really does. Like I've literally talked to people who've reached out to me since we started the show and asked for help. That's happened and like privately. So I'm glad we do that show. It's the most important thing we do. It's the most serious thing that we do. Sure, we can still joke around on that show and we do have lighthearted moments, but it's about, you know, trying to reach out and connect and hopefully learn something and experience some type of connection that can give us a better understanding about some serious stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, keep it going. Great. That's good stuff.
Well, that's a great way for us to segue into our drinking section, I think.
Hey, all right. Pour me another one.
A long time ago, someone decided to put stuff in glass bottles. In some of these bottles, they put juice or milk, and that was stupid. Today, only alcohol and a few other products remain in the containers from the gods. It's time for beers and bourbon, because good advice only comes in a bottle.
Everybody had to have heard that.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I have listened to the show before, believe it or not. And the first time I heard that, I was quite impressed with the production on that. That is first rate production all the way.
That's where it ends.
So, yeah, all downhill from there.
Downhill. And that's why you're here tonight, is to prevent us from going down. So as I got to debut on one of the other podcasts that we did record tonight or episodes, I'm off my Waterloo Dark, although I am still surrounded by 12 packs of it. And as I said to Ty, I sadly cleaned a section of my garage where I was storing boats, which, you know, Michael has kindly agreed to purchase a canoe from me.
It's already done. So paperwork's done.
And I'm just going to drive down to the river and push it across. And he's going to, you can swim, right? He's going to swim out and get the canoe because he can't cross the border. Maybe we could get Miss Hello to hop in and she could go on over and you guys could see each other.
She would love that.
People helping people. It's a beautiful thing. It is. But anyway, so I'm drinking Abe Herb's Transatlantic American Pale Ale because I think they didn't want to call it an India Pale Ale for some reason. And there's a fun story with this place, Michael. They had to close down just up and out of the blue one day for fraud allegations and some multi-million dollar things going on at the brewery where they were stealing, embezzling, and whatnot. All the details have not yet come out because the court case hasn't happened. But I have been saving this and thinking that I wasn't going to like it. But now that I'm several in tonight, I'm going to say it's okay. And I'm going to drink a bunch of these while I slowly let the rest of my Waterloo Dark age again, even and more.
Just don't feed your Waterloo Dark after midnight or it'll breed.
I was going to say that can kind of looked like I thought for a moment it was a dogfish head sequential. It has the same color. They had the same color as a can of that. So You guys ever had that one or familiar with that?
I don't know that one.
The craft brews don't cross over.
I mean, that beer, isn't that the same name as a Death Cab song?
Transatlantic?
Isn't that a Death Cab song?
I'm pretty sure. Dogfish Head? Or no, Sequence? No,
the Transatlantic one.
Oh, yeah. That's an album. Transatlanticism, I believe, is the album title. Yeah, it is.
I feel like I got that
good
one.
Good album, too.
Pop culture not for me tonight. Let's go.
Yeah, there you go. So what are you having, Ty?
I have been stuck on the Woodford Reserve because they don't allow us to get Range of Bourbon here in Canada. So I'm living there for now.
There's a great movie that you need to go find the drops for. It's called Mississippi Grind. And in that movie, they drink Woodford. And this was before, this is like 2015. So this is a little while ago when Woodford was probably still newer, I think. And
is this on Pornhub? Just what streaming service?
Yeah, I'll have to privately send you the link. Yes, it's got the Pornhub link. So.
Just a quick side note from that, Robbie, really quick. I was on
Clubhouse. I wrote it down, Mississippi Grind. Yeah.
And I sat in a comedy chat room for a couple minutes, and the one guy like tested out new material, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I've been really into streaming this during the pandemic. I've really got ahead on some shows. Just finished the first season of Pornhub."
That's good.
I don't know what that is. I don't know.
Right. It's just so funny.
But in that movie, in Mississippi Grind, Ben Mendelsohn, who's a terrific actor, Ryan Reynolds in it too, Canada's own. So there's a reason. And Ben Mendelsohn always says, "How about a Woodford?" And they drink Woodford the whole movie. So that line, "How about a Woodford?" would be perfect for this thing.
So whatever episode number this becomes, the one after that drop will start occurring all the time. So thank you.
I think it'll fit quite well.
And genius name for the name of this episode. How about a Woodward? Thank you. You're welcome. Nailed it.
Nice job.
I don't even know if Robbie gets that one. That one might be too Detroit. So that was like one of the roads of Tiger Stadium.
It's not.
Do you know the number?
Chris Woodward.
Do you know the number of what Woodward is? You know, because like every street or some avenues. That's correct. Very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty sure.
So for anyone who doesn't know, we're going to talk about Detroit Tigers. So
no,
it is a Tiger passion show for both Michael and Ty.
Giants up for Detroit. I love this city.
So I'm just going to sign off. I wish you guys well on your journey. And have at it, gentlemen. I look forward to not owning many of these players. But tell me why I should.
So it's also coming from the guy that owns like 12 of the 25-man roster from the LA Angels. So take that with a grain of salt.
And
it's not the 12 you want to own either.
A lot of those Pirates could bounce back.
Luis Rendifo? Is that what it
is? Yeah. So, Mike, let's jump into this list here. We're going to go through the roster, the lineup, our predicted opening day, and or best case scenario. We call it what you want. Take us through 1-9. What's it going to look like this season? There's a lot of question marks on this team. Like, there's very few ironed out roles. You know, I think maybe two guaranteed guys in this lineup to make it all the way through the season at their role, maybe three. Take us through it. Who do you got?
Well, this Tigers team is a mess. They've signed a lot of low rent players because it's smart. It's a smart thing to do. I don't have a beef with that, but it's just messy. It's less fun. There are also guys that I'm not a fan of, like Nomar Mazar, Renato Nunez, guys that are boring to me. As a fan, I'm just interested in those types of signings, and especially Robbie Grossman. And Robbie Grossman has been leading off a lot in spring training, and they signed him to a 2-year deal, as Robbie was alluding to before we started the show. So it can't be undone. And unless he gets hurt, I really hate to admit that it'll probably be him leading off, but I don't see that being long-term. I think throughout the season, Willie Castro is the guy. And I think Ty, you agree with me on that, right?
Yeah, I do. The only other guy that really could fill that's not Robbie Grossman is Victor Reyes. Be the only other guy that I could see on the top of that lineup. I like Willie Castro a little bit more of a grinder. I think he's the obvious lead off for shortstop at the beginning. You might see some Goodrum up at the top too, but though we're talking about bench guys as well, right? Like just guys that are going to grind off the top. So, and that's more or less to keep lineup solidarity.
Yeah. It sucks for Reyes. He got a late start with the visa issue. It delayed him in spring training. He was really hyped by a lot of people I respect coming into the offseason after what he showed in the albeit short sample of 2020. And people started drafting him at a level that I was concerned about. Like, his ADP was getting higher and higher, but there was more outfielders filling the void. So it's like, Jacoby Jones is still there. And of course, Grossman's there now. It's not so clear cut that Victor Reyes is your opening day center fielder, because people were penciling in him for like 20 steals in like a 2020 season was at play. And that is far from reality right now, is it not?
I think so. He's hitting 375 in the spring. I'm a fan of spring numbers to solidify things, right? And I think it, you know, Robbie Grossman's hitting an equivalent like 185 right now with a disgusting OPS, right? So like, for me, I don't care what you sign Robbie Grossman for. I don't care what he's done. He's had half a good season. Like, I hated that signing for you guys. And I like Victor Reyes head and shoulders above Grossman. It's not even close for me.
I like Reyes more, but I also fear that the stupidity of baseball is going to put Grossman in the position to garner 150 more at bats unless an injury comes in and, you know, helps us out there. But when you're looking at like Jacoby Jones and Grossman, it's not like it's a given that those guys will lose their spot if they're not performing well offensively. But with Nomar Mazara, I could see him losing a spot if he's not doing it. And that would mean a pretty popless outfield.
Remember this AJ Hinch is there, right? So like, they got that car in center field. So for strikeouts or for fastballs, it's going to be one honk. Changeups, two honks, right? Let's assume that that's the way that plays out. All these guys will hit better. So they just got to get up to Comerica.
Are you saying car honks because it's Detroit?
There's a car in center field. There's legitimately a car in center field.
Oh, like, you said like, Detroit like Gordon Lightfoot. Great job.
Like a Kia? Like, is that what's out there?
It's a Dodge maybe. What do they have out there now?
It would be Chrysler. Well, sorry, it would be a Chevy.
I think it is a Chrysler, actually, now you say it.
What's the building? No, Chrysler would be Chicago.
Oh, across the street. I'm pretty sure it's a Chrysler.
Would it be a Ford? Sebring.
Are you talking about the cars in the outfield?
Yeah, what would be the car?
Well, they definitely were Chevys forever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But I don't think it is anymore. I think they moved away from Chevy, though.
They may have, the commercial licensing deal with GM may have ended. That is true.
I was joking about the Kia, because that would just be funny to have an import.
No, I thought you said IKEA. I was like, IKEA's in Plymouth, by the way.
Okay, well, let's move on from that part of the lineup. Let's go through all of them. Let's just talk about 1 through 9. So what are you thinking? Perfect world. What do we got?
Things would go my way. Yeah, I would love Willie Castro leading off. Jaime Candelario hitting second. I think he has a certain skill set that is perfect for a second. The two guy. Now, the two guy has become the guy you want to get like the second most at bats of more often over the last 5 to 6 years with lineups. You know, Joey Votto, people like that get in the two hole. Your classic two hole to me was Lou Whitaker back in the day. You know, a guy who could get on base, but also put the ball in play, had a little bit of speed. He was the atypical two hitter, but that's not the case anymore necessarily. Remember, Candelario is definitely not Lou Whitaker, but he is a guy that can make contact and he does have decent plate discipline skills. So last year he wasn't so great, but he did finish fairly well. He was at like a barrel rate of 10% and exit velocity of about 90, I think, in the second half or the later part of the year.
And he was a member of Team Post Hype last season. So heads up, Timer. How you doing, baby? Hey,
that's my girlfriend's last name, too. Wow, that makes me the end. Hello. But yeah, people were buying into him last year and then they jumped off because he wasn't so great. But now he's even more valuable because he's so easily purchased. Like he's not someone that you could take a big risk on. I think his ADP is pretty down there.
It was north of 250 during the TGFBI. I think I got him at like 254, something like that. And I was in the same league as Nicholas Scott, who I was on with, what was the Potapalooza?
Potapalooza,
I was on that with him as well on the same panel. And he's like, oh, so you like, because I had him as like a sleeper. And he's like, oh, so you like him? Like, writes it down. And I'm like, all right, now I've got to jump up earlier than I wanted to for him. But Ty was talking a lot about Candelario last year. And when he was sucking, he was saying, just wait for it. And it was one of those scenarios where everybody that still owned him was probably thinking, my season's not going the way I want it to, so I'm not going to get rid of him. And then they got the bonus from him. And for us with a big dynasty focus, it's one of those things where in 19, I was saying, well, you know what? It doesn't look like it's coming together for me. So I'm going to move off of him and try to get somebody else, because I was looking for a superstar when I was getting him. And that's obviously not what we're going to get here. So I'm going to go, you know, try to trade him for a draft pick, trade him for somebody that's in a lineup every day. And that's when he was going up and down too, right? Like, that was the bottom for him. But now he seems to have established himself as a mid-tier type third base, first base option. And let's see what happens now. You know, now let's see what he can really do.
Yeah, I don't think spring training should count for that much. I mean, it's nice to see Willie Castro doing his thing in spring training, but he was also doing it last year. He showed us that he has the ability to do it in the regular season. So I actually talked to a friend of mine who thinks that Jonathan Scope will lead off, and he's pretty plugged in with Tiger. He covers the Tigers. I thought that was a little radical, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
I don't see that one either.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that would be a real inside scope, though. Fan.
Hey, booyah. But yeah, so the way we have it here, I like Castro leading off. Candelario can handle the bat. If he doesn't have the problems that happened a couple years ago, I don't know why those would surface. I expect him to elevate his game. And then Cabrera at three hole, that's just classic. Cabrera's, he hits the ball hard still. Like, he could crush the ball and still put it into play. He's not the elite Hall of Famer he was anymore, but I still think, you guys think 25 home runs is possible this year? Is that crazy?
I think that's a little high.
He's going to have to run into a lot of bad pitching, and I don't know that that's going to happen in the Central this year.
Ah, all right. Well,
24, though. 24.
Oh! I knew it! I knew you were close.
I can see 20 on a good run, but 25, I think, is a stretch. Like, I think the OPS will be there, right? Because he still has that beautiful right-center gap in Ecomerica that's free doubles and triples, right? So, you know, even for an old guy, he can still find it. It might be the only park in baseball he can find a triple in, right?
Well, so he was as close as he's been in the last couple of years to getting his barrel percentage back to double digits, like 9.7 last year. And he hadn't been double digits since 2017 when it was 10. So he still hits it hard. That's a good thing. And if he can make that, you know, if he can have the balance to kind of hit more powerful and mix those liners in. He's never going to hit doubles and triples. I mean, that's just not who he is. But I just see a guy whose expected batting average should be elite, and he kind of got unlucky last year. I really believe that there's still one minimum to above average season left in him. I really do. But maybe I'm full of Tigers juice. You know, maybe I'm drinking too much Tigers Kool-Aid.
You got Tiger blood in you?
Tiger so, blood.
Who do you see still running through the rest of this one here? So we've got to Cabrera at three. Who's cleaning up in an ideal world for you?
Well, we kind of settled on Scope. I don't love Scope, to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of him at all. I was bummed that they re-signed him, but what's done is done. And he is reliable, so I should not dismiss his ability to hit for power and kind of sustain the middle of the road, typical, not amazing, but like, he's like a rock solid veteran. He's your classic, typical rock solid veteran. So he can drive in all the runs, and I don't have a problem with that. I'll have to live with it. So Scope at four. Then from there, Wilson Ramos is a veteran. If he's healthy, he can still hit for a little bit of pop as well. I like his bat, his skill set, even though he's 38 years old. It's not bad at all. You guys
33.
Got no more.
33.
Oh, he's 33?
33. You just shaved 5 years off his life. Now, what do you think
Holy
of him?
Shite. I am blown away. Wow. He is 33 years old.
He does not look a day under 45, but.
Well, it's hard to believe when he signed with the Tampa Bay Rays like four times. So it's hard to believe he's only 33.
I was going
to
say, is he the kind of guy who's like from bench warmers where he holds up the piece of paper, I am 12? Like, is that the Wilson Ramos that we're thinking of here? He certainly Holy doesn't crap. Look young. I'm what am Dude. I? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm 6 picks away in a keeper league where my team is absolutely stacked, and Ramos is the catcher that I'm looking to take here. We're somewhere north, I think, of pick 270. So I feel like that's slightly aggressive, but also, you know, he could be a 70 run 80 RBI at peak guy this year.
He really could hit in the four hole here. Like, that's like not the worst option here.
If he's got it back, right? If he's got that timing back, then I think he could move it into 4 or 5.
He hit 288 in 2019. That was at 524 plate appearances. That's a catcher. That's outstanding. You love that. And a 351 OBP. So he's patient. He doesn't strike out a lot. You know, 20% last year, that's not what he does. His career norm is 16% on K rate. So I can't believe somebody put 38 in my head. I swear I read an article or someone's stat line and they put the wrong year because that burned in my brain. I feel like an idiot. I'm never going to live that down. But
so he's younger, but that's good. That's good.
Yeah. Actually, I've been going around the last 2 weeks thinking he's 38.
Have you not drafted him because of that?
Yeah, it hasn't cost me money yet. So
what do we got? 6, 7, 8, 9 here. What are we, how are we finishing? You know, fireworks going off in Detroit right now, right? You just power all the way through.
Well, yeah, Nomar Mazar in right field. Yeah, that seems to be a general consensus.
Hello. It's me.
I think this is three time. Team post hype.
I think that's the Mexican Baseball League who's saying hello. They're calling to Nomar because that's where he might be come 2022. But for Ty, it's team post hype. So where are you feeling on Mazara? You can't say you like the signing, but
no.
Are you okay? Are you interested in him seeing 500 at bats?
No, I have no interest in him at all. I never draft him anywhere. I'm not purposely doing that. There's just no scenario. Maybe in a draft and hold that's 50 rounds deep, like an NFBC that's like a right. DC, maybe. Ball, yeah.
Here's the thing that I've been telling people. That's exactly what they said about JD Martinez when he got to Detroit.
Wow.
So I'm just going to leave that there for you and so just make you sit on
a
that.
Reach. That is what you call a reach.
Hey, telling you, Miggy is a hitter. Miggy teaches these sort of things. And you know, you've got a lot of veterans in this lineup. Nomar was not around any of that in Texas. You have to keep that in mind. This guy's a big man. And
he had Odor.
Yeah. So the best thing that Odor brought was the lack of top buttons being done.
Was the cross right to Batista that everybody likes to shove in our Canadian faces. That's the best part of him. Okay, so 7, 8, 9. The guy you got at 7, I kind of think might surprise – disappoint, nobody cares, but the line will be okay.
Let me just before we move on, that was such a drastic point you just made, Ty. We have to address that. When he got cut from Houston, he was a guy that could hit for a little more contact than Mazara does. I think that's the difference in their profile. I don't think, even if Mazara is good, he's not going to be the type of hitter that JD became, right? You would agree with that?
No, I would not.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure we had common ground. No common ground. Okay. Great.
Yeah. So the thing, so Houston, the numbers for JD in Houston were 274 in his cup of coffee year. And then 241, 250 with 11 home runs and 17 in those last two seasons. Then he made the jump to Detroit, 23 home runs. Okay. So now let's take a similar look at Nomar Mazara. Right. And yep. I think you'll start to see some of these things line up. You're in Texas, 266 compared to 274, right? 20 bombs, 253, right in line with JD, 20 bombs, more than JD, 258. So equivalent to his 260 with 20 bombs again. So very consistent on the power and the average 260 profile, 20 bombs. Now you add to that with whatever Miggy taught JD, and potentially unlock the frame is here to produce the same change. That's the thing that I'm hanging my hat on, and I'm not willing to get off yet because I've been on it for way too long and I need to just hang on and hope I'm right. So
okay.
I'm dying there, but the comparables are there. So that's all, I will leave it there.
That's fine. Okay, we'll move on from that. That was a hell of a job. You are a salesman to the max, and I'm impressed. I will say that. But as far as the rest of this lineup, I don't like Mazara. So, I don't care. Whatever.
So I just gotta go. So far, you're buying Nomar Mazara in a canoe. That's where we're at.
maybe on Mazara. I'm definitely buying the canoe. Yeah, Mazara is a maybe. So, but the rest of this lineup, Jacoby Jones is going to start over Victor Reyes. Victor Reyes was being drafted earlier in draft season like he was a starter, but now they realize that Jacoby Jones was still there. Yes, he's injury prone, but Jones is an excellent player when he's healthy, and he can provide, especially in Roto. he can provide you double-digit steals and homers. Like a 15-20 or 15-15 minimum, if he's healthy, are definitely in play. But my concern is that he will always get hurt. Finger injuries, leg injuries, they just pile up nonstop. And that'll be Victor Reyes's opportunity. If the injuries pop up again for Jones, Victor Reyes will take control, and he probably won't relinquish the opportunity. But that's how this lineup rounds out. You know, you Renato Nunez, seven, who cares? I could care less. Like, but someone has to play there. I think Nico Goodrum can – they want to keep him in the lineup, and he could play anywhere. He might also play some first base once in a while too. Don't dismiss that as a possibility. And then Robbie Grossman, which I hope just goes away, but I'm a feeling he's not going away.
Okay, and then the bench quickly. We can go through Grayson Grenier, who could have, would have, should have been the catcher of the future. And then, as you mentioned, Harold Castro, who can move around the diamond a little bit, who is he was a J2 guy way back when in 11. And then Nico Goodrum, you mentioned as well, came over in 17. And then Reyes, former Rule 5 guy. One of the reasons we like to discuss the Rule 5 as a way to get value. You could have had him real cheap years ago. Of course, you got to wait on it. And now let's move to the rotation. So obviously we've got SP1 Casey Mize, and then we've got Matt Manning. Oh, wait a second. Okay, can you tell us who you think the starting five are going to be, please?
Well, unfortunately, Boyd will probably be the opening day starter. And my former favorite Blue Jay. Guy, former Blue Jay, that's right. Yeah, he was part of the David
like
that's Price
somehow
deal.
Like a point of pride. Like,
oh,
yeah,
very important.
He is the only player still with the organization since that trade did happen in 15. So, with either because Price was gone immediately.
Oh, well, he's been the ace, but he's not an ace, but he's like called the de facto top of the rotation guy just because there's not a lot. When Jordan Zimmerman's in your rotation, or he has been.
Oh my gosh.
Not a lot to look up to in this rotation, but
what a signing.
Oh, that is, I don't know if which was worse, is that signing or the Justin Upton deal. They were both pretty bad, but Zimmerman's probably worse. Anyways, Matthew Boyd is going to give up home runs. You know the deal with Matthew Boyd. If you're familiar with baseball at all, if you're not familiar with fantasy baseball at all, you'll know that.
Welcome to Dingers.
Yeah, welcome to Dingers. Yeah, Matt Boyd is going to invite you guys into his house, and he's going to give all the dingers you can handle. That's what he does. And last year, I remember listening to him on the local 97.1, the affiliate here where the Tigers games are on. And it was the offseason show with Dan Dickerson and some hosts. And Boyd was on the show, and he was talking about he was working on his changeup more, and he was really focused. He was already down in Florida, and it was like January, and he was really excited about 2020. And then, you know, we got what we got. And now he's doing the same spiel again in 2021, and people are buying in. I think we know who he is as a pitcher. Like, what else is there to prove with Matthew Boyd at this point? He's going to have a 4 ERA. He will strike out a lot of guys, and he's going to give up a lot of fly balls, which will equal home runs.
Right. And if you could get his ERA back down over a full season, we just didn't get to see that though. He was, what, north of 6 last year, wasn't he, for ERA?
Yeah, but his career ERA is 5.08.
Mm. But that's because of COVID, okay?
If COVID, you take responsibility for everything now.
Yeah, if you take out the 2020 season, the ERA is for something. I'm not giving him a pass. But yeah, you're right. He's just one of these like sinkholes in fantasy, right? People see certain things in him and they're like, this could really work for him, and then just doesn't work, right? Because it was the first half of 19. Is that when he peaked? And then went down the hill. Yeah. So the first half of 19. And since then, we've all been trying to find a way to buy back in.
Yeah. The walks went up in 2020. So if you're looking for something to improve upon, if he can reduce the walks, maybe he won't give up 3-run homers. He'll just give up solo homers. But in the end,
hey, that's okay. That's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing. I mean, the FIP and the ERA pretty much match. He had a 6.71 ERA last year with a 5.78 FIP. So it sounded like it's a fluke. His career 5.08 ERA, like you said, is a 4.75 FIP. So it's not that far off. He could be slightly better, but not like a, oh, wow, there's a under 4 ERA in that arm. There is not. So you can dream all you want. If you're looking for an innings eater, I will give you that. With the uncertainty in innings in 2020, because of the COVID 2020 mess heading into 2021, sure. Yeah, Boyd'll eat some innings, but I'm not expecting. I would have to get a lot of other pitchers that would balance out my rate stats. That's why Spencer Turnbull, the number two guy here, is my favorite pitcher in the staff. I think he just keeps getting better and better. Sure, he didn't get to where I thought he could in 2020, but that's because it wasn't a full season anyways. But he showed glimpses of tremendous potential, and I think he's going to take another step and show that he'll be the ace of this staff in 2021. I firmly believe that.
Okay, best pitcher. And then we move on to former ace who's about to regain in Michael Fulmer.
I don't know. His neck's awfully sore after his outing today, watching them rock it over his shoulder.
So, Michael, just tell me this, because I watched what was happening in Detroit last year as they were introducing Mize and introducing Skubal. But Fulmer essentially started, blew up. And then Norris came in, damage control, and did a pretty darn good job, collected some wins along the way, and was respectable, which was great to see from Norris, because he was another, he was also in that trade for Price, but he was another guy who's come up as a highly touted prospect and has, you know, disappointed to this point. But Fulmer just seems to have, like, to me, he's become like a Matt Harvey meatball thrower. Do you see more in him this year? Or do you think he's like an 8 ERA kind of blowing up as just his thing? Like Zimmerman, he just can't pitch at the MLB level. I know he's only 28, but do you think that he might not be a major league pitcher?
Well, technically we have Fulmer in this rotation, but I really don't believe he will be in the rotation. I don't think they can justify it based on what they've seen and with the other arms they've signed and all the potential that's oozing out of the potential rotation ahead. So yes, I agree with everything you just said. I don't think he's finished, but
just not starter.
No, I think the Matt Harvey comparison is kind of apropos.
Terrifying.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he never was. Matt Harvey was like a Cy Young type pitcher, right? So Fulmer wasn't even that. He won Rookie of the Year. And it was promising. He tore his elbow, and that's where we are now. We haven't had anything to go on. So if you're looking to take a flyer, like a deep flyer that costs you nothing, I think Fulmer's worth it. But do not invest a lot of actual value or, you know, commodities that you have at your disposal on him, because I think that would be a waste. That's how I see that. I still think he's like a swing guy here, a guy who's like the sixth starter maybe, or an innings filler for however their rotation and their pitching staff ends up playing out to fill the innings.
I could see him as a closer. Like, I think
really?
He could fall into that role. I think he's got the
Does
big 12 to six.
Stuff?
Yeah, I think he's got the big 12 to six. And I think if you gave him one inning to turn that 94 into 97 or 98, I think it could work. Because as we saw with Jay Happ as a guy with similar repertoire from the left side, right, when he started below up a little bit, get it up in the zone, match the curveball a little bit better, all of a sudden he became effective. I think Fulmer could have a similar experience, but I don't think he can do it as a starter. I just think the hook, it doesn't pair with his fastball the way you want it to. And I think that's his biggest problem as a starter, to be honest.
All right. Who else? If we're moving on from Fulmer, we're not liking it, but we're going to move on. We got a couple guys left. Who's filling out this rotation?
Yeah. Let me throw the caveat in here that I think that Skubal should be in the rotation over Fulmer, but my opinion is that they're so damn cheap, they won't do it. They want to send him down and maximize the length that they can own the player. That'll be the most important thing.
So you're saying that,
but there is nowhere to send
him
either. So.
Is real?
No. But there's
okay,
also
good.
No minor leagues. There's just the alternate site. So that's another thing too. What, you're going to send Skubal to an alternate site for a couple of weeks while he just kind of hangs out?
Maybe he's got to work on his defense. We don't know.
I remember the 2006 World Series taught me anything. Pitcher defense matters. Trust me. 2006 World Series is still burned in my brain.
That's tough to remember. That was a hard one. Yep. I remember that too.
That was brutal. But at any rate, so if Fulmer's in the rotation briefly, it's probably going to happen. Then you got Jose Urania and Julio Teheran filling this out. And Teheran was fantastic the other day in a spring training outing. I think it was 4 innings and like 7 Ks. He looked pretty damn good in that outing. So if he's earning a spot by getting this low budget contract, it might play for at least the beginning.
Velo's up for Teheran too. It's north of 2019 numbers right now. So if the Velo can get back where it was or above that, I think he can be that guy. I think in this shortened season, he might have the potential quietly production wise to be your ace. It might not be the ace stuff guy, but he's kind of that guy that just quietly gets things done and nobody gets excited about it. He did it for 5 or 6 years in Atlanta and nobody gave him any credit for it.
He's one of those boring guys that, is just there. Like, but he's serviceable. He's been less serviceable the last 2 years, but if he's healthy and the velo's up, then that's another reason to let him fly. Let him just go crazy here. And if it works, then you look like a genius as the GM. And if it doesn't, you just let him go because it costs you nothing.
Right.
Yep. So if we move to the bullpen now that we've been disappointed by the starters, obviously we'll talk or touch on shortly the depth within the pitchers when we get into prospects and things like that. But it's kind of murky for us. So Ty and I have had the conversation without a proper resolution. So you can break this down. Is it Brian Garcia's job to lose? Is Joe Jimenez gonna magically take this job? What's going on late innings in Detroit? It is up to you to tell us.
One name really quick before we jump into the bullpen, Robbie, that is a non-roster guy that needs to be mentioned as a veteran guy for rotation is Erasmo Ramirez, who's slowly been stretched out in the back half of games. So he's been pretty productive in the spring, but he's just been quietly being stretched out. So
alt site then.
Yeah, right? He could be, but again, we talked about this a lot, like throwing the veterans to the wolves to open the season, given what the last year of baseball has been, I don't think is going to be out of the norm. So if you're going to throw a guy like Erasmo out there, why wait till the middle of the year when you want Mize and Manning and Scooble? Get Erasmo out there now, give him the shot. And if he surprises, great. And maybe turn him into a trade asset for somebody that gets on the Tommy John train. So I just wanted to mention that name quickly, because I think it matters, and then I'll hand it back to the bullpen combo.
8 2/3 innings for him, 3 walks, 7 Ks in spring training. So one home run.
I see you. I see you, Erasmo.
So Ty's giving him an extension.
No. He comes from the Seattle arm system, which means I'm
ooh,
out.
Ooh.
The arm system, you like that?
A DePoto? Ooh. A DePoto disciple? I'm interested.
No, he left that barn. He's but like, he's, I'm out of here.
He's from it. And that's good enough. Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor, the Dodger.
The legend.
Yeah. Like he's a Seattle cast off. He counts as under the DePoto traded him away. Still a DePoto asset. Anyway. Okay. Tell us about the bullpen. Please.
Well, Robbie, this was a no-brainer to me, and I think Gregory Soto is the closer.
Yeah,
he's not the
okay.
closer today. He will be the closer. He's the best arm in terms of the closer in this pen. He's got electric stuff. You know, he throws gas, and he can wipe you out with the secondary pitch. I believe fully in him. I think everything else is moot, and even if it looks like Garcia or Joe are closing, or even Jose Cisnero, you know, he could close. It's possible.
Right.
I just don't think that will be how the season plays out. I expect Gregory Soto. I've been drafting Gregory Soto as the closer. I absolutely have. And okay. It doesn't cost you anything because he's like, you know, way down there in the 400-500s plus. So there's mm-hmm. no risk in redraft leagues.
I like that. Okay. So we've talked before, even way back when we first started the podcast, Buck Farmer was a guy that we liked as a possible SP5 SP5 way back when, and it never came together, obviously, but he's been one of those organizational guys who's just kicked around. And now it looks
never
like
goes away. Never exactly. goes away.
So is he the type of guy, if you're in a save hold league, that you have any interest in? Or would you rather put your chips in the Daniel Norris camp, who might be able to sneak you some wins? Maybe he gets some holds, but his ratios might be better. Is there a preference you have watching them? Are you more terrified by Farmer late in a game, or are you more terrified by Norris coming in when a pitcher gets blown up and he's trying to save the game?
Even if it is a saves holds league, if you're drafting or you're adding Buck Farmer to your staff, you are in deep trouble. Yeah, I feel for you. If that's like that's where all your decisions led you to. I think Buck Farmer is a 30-year-old bust. He's total waste at this point. I don't know why he's still on the team. I was really hoping he'd be gone by now, but he's just shown who he is. There's no reason to think
4+ years with those Tigers, right?
Yes. Yeah. Crazy. I used to love his name when I first saw him and he was coming up, like, oh, Buck Farver, what a cool name. I can't wait to see what this guy can do. And he's never shown us anything of value. He just, it was whether he was going to be a starter or reliever, he's failed at all of it. So no, I would not have any interest in him. I'd be interested still in Joe Jimenez and Garcia to a secondary extent. And then Jose Cisnero, I think, is valuable. I really do. I think he could,
yeah,
okay. He's a veteran. He's older. He's been around. I think he's crafty enough where he might, yeah, I could just see him vulturing a few saves here or there, but I love Daniel Norris in the bullpen now. I think this is a good spot for him. And I actually think he's going to be like a borderline. I haven't put a term with a name to it yet, but.
Oh, we might have it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you do.
5-0 guy.
Yeah. Or even more than that, like this guy who is, it's not even a swing guy. I don't know. It's like, hey, we got to fill innings. There's all these guys on the list, like Alex Reyes, Luis Patino. There's a lot of these guys that fit this profile of like, oh, they're not good starters. They're not closers, but they have some good stuff and we need them to eat innings. So they might not be openers. They might not be swing guys. I don't know. There's another term. I don't know what it is. I wish I had it. But
Ty calls them 5-0 guys. That's what Ty calls those types.
And does that mean they only get 5 outs?
No, well, but it means they're good for 5 outs every time. So minimum, they're kind of like getting you out of the jam and then they're continuing to pitch effectively. Is that correct, Ty?
Yes, but with a small addition that it leaves them the out to bring in a situational guy for 1 out. So that's why I think the 5-out tag is appropriate, because I think that will be the evolution of this 3-out reliever, is that you will get to the 5-out scenario where you got either you bailed out a starter after letting somebody on base with 1 out, and then you pitch clean the rest of an inning in the following, or the opposite happens where you take over an inning, you pitch the next 2 outs, you get 2 guys on, and then they pull you out for the lefty specialist. Right. So I think that's the evolution of the bullpen we will see with this. And that's why I like the 5-out guy tag.
And it will be nice to see a full year with the three batter minimum. We didn't get to really see that last year, of course, 60 game sprint. So Tyler Alexander was like a hot ticket item for that one outing. I remember that. It extended for a long period of time. And do you think that it helped to solidify him as maybe a long man for guys in dynasty leagues who are looking for bulk? Or was it an unfortunate circumstance where the guy got 10 Ks and all of his numbers now look so much better than he is as a pitcher? Are you the happy Tyler Alexander owner, or are you the why do I own him now?
Yeah, I would probably be why do I own him now? It was a fun moment. What a ride it was. Yeah. Tyler Alexander gave us a great day, a news bit that could make us feel good. There's so much misery with the Detroit Tigers over the last 5+ years. So to have that moment, I remember that day. I felt pretty good. I had a little pep in my step. I was walking around feeling like, you know what? I could say I'm from Detroit and not feel bad about it. I did. It was a good day. Thank you, Tyler. But that's it. That's as far as it goes. I am not a fan. I have no interest. And for fantasy purposes, I don't see how he fits in here unless he surprises us, which he did surprise us with that incredible out.
Right.
I like Daniel Norris a lot more as a reliever. I'm hoping that this will be the year where he really solidifies some consistency in a season for once, because it's always so up and down. And then Derek Holland's the wild card as the non-roster invitee. He's had a great spring. If you put stock in that, he's 34 and that's older.
Oh, I put stock in it, Michael.
You do?
Yeah, oh, yes, I do.
You're radiating Derek Holland.
Don't
fever.
Let the glasses fool you. He's passionate about spring training stats.
But I am like equally as against the level of mustache game that Derek Holland normally brings to the field of play. So
hey, the Dutch oven, man, he's hilarious. He's a funny dude. And I like that he has that comedic aspect, and he's always made fun of himself and been cool like that. He's a cool dude. But are you really going to rely on him? What are you expecting out of him, Ty? A guy that's going to be
I'm expecting him to start a really successful YouTube channel at some point. That's my expectation.
Well, that's obvious.
Derek. Yeah.
So it's like him and Tim Dillard, if you know who that guy is, who just retired. Do you know Tim Dillard?
I feel like I do, but maybe that sounds like Dillard's the department store. So I'm confused.
A career minor leaguer with the Rangers, who he finished off with the Rangers. As like a relief pitcher kind of guy, but he was very funny. Aww. And he's retired now. So I could absolutely see him in some sort of secondary type broadcasting. You know, I don't know that a major network would want to have him on, but he could go and do something like, I don't want to say Barstool because I'm not a huge fan, but something not over the, not crossing the line type funny guy in baseball.
Derek and Dillard. Yeah, Derek and Dillard show.
The show already exists.
It does, but Derek would be pissed because he's 34 and he doesn't think he's done yet. And Ty doesn't think he's done yet either. So Derek Holland will be a nice, they've done a great job with these safety valve, like trash pitchers, Holland, Urania, and Tehran. They don't cost you anything. They're
and Nova the last year, right?
Yeah.
Nova last year in there.
That's like the Hall of Fame version of that. Yeah, did it? Yeah, it did. I don't remember.
Well, I mean, listen, all of those guys that you just mentioned, including Holland, are trade assets. That's all they are. They're nothing more. They're nothing less. They're going to eat some innings and then hopefully be enough value to get them off the roster and let the kids come up. Like, that's the agenda, right? That was the agenda with CJ Cron. It didn't work out. Right? Clearly what the front office is trying to accomplish here. So
yeah, it would have been great if he didn't tear his knee. He was going to kill it. He really was.
Yeah, I agree.
And everybody that's now buying into him in Colorado is going to just reap the rewards, right? Career season coming for CJ Cron based on his ADP.
You got it, Robbie.
We've got Alex Fedu, who's injured, recovering. Joey Wentz, same guy.
Okay.
He's
got an elbow injury. We should say his name right. I feel bad for him.
I'm sorry.
How are you actually supposed to say it?
Fido.
I always said Fedu.
Yeah,
Fedu. All right, well, then I'm going to start saying Fedu. From this day forth, let it be known, Michael Govier will always say Fedu.
I feel like if your name is Fedu, though, you have to have a good changeup. Just feel like it has to go with, right? Like, it just has to be there. I'm sorry.
It absolutely does.
Okay, so we also have Joey Wentz on the IL. Poor guy. And that'll get us into depth. So if we skip down, we'll start with the pitching depth because that's the best depth at this that this organization has. We can start off with future ace Ronnie Garcia from the Rule 5 draft last year. Hey, he's a number one pick, all right? Yes, it was the Rule 5, but he was the first guy taken. So anyway, he's back now. Do you have an expectation of him beyond possible relief? Like, do you think that there is something that some way somehow makes him a starter, or was this just like a Rule 5 pick and he's going to kind of kick around Buck Farmer as a highlight? You know, that would be his ceiling as Buck Farmer.
I actually think he could play a role. He could make something happen here. I really do.
I agree.
I think they got him for a reason because it costs nothing. It's minimal. And if it doesn't work out, they'll just ship him back. But there's also opportunity in this pen and slash less than rotation, less to an extent of that. But in the pen, there are opportunities. And I like this guy to somehow play a role. Like, we're going to be surprised what he provides. I can't give you much more than that because it's still the jury's out type deal. But, you know, he's decent. He has all the skills to be solid. And I think a guy like him, he's 23 years old, right? He's still growing, but he's solid enough and he's got enough experience where he's ready to try it out at the major league level. And I think there's just enough opportunities where he could make something happen in actually a saves hold context.
That would be great. If that came from a Rule 5 guy, that would be a real good lesson going forward to teams as well to look at that. So a bunch of these guys are prospects or just past prospect eligibility outside of Drew Hutchinson, who I have not seen any spring stats for. Ty or Michael, have either of you seen Drew Hutchinson, former opening day starter for the Toronto Blue Jays?
That's Drew Hutchinson. I loved him. God, he was awesome.
Yeah. For like this long, Drew Hutchinson was a very good pitcher. And for everybody who doesn't see, because I'm podcasting, I put a couple, I'm going to say 2 centimeters. I'm going to say that was about a 2 centimeter for Canadians. But anyway, so other than Drew, we've got Casey Mize on the bubble, Scooble, who, you know, Michael, you already said you feel should be in that rotation. I agree. And then Matt Manning on the cusp. And then behind them, we've got, you know, Bo Burrows, who was drafted before all of them. Yeah, drafted before all of them, hasn't been able to make it happen. And then Alex Land would, I guess, be the other type guy who's traded 19 over. But I don't know. I don't see anybody else that's kind of like at that at that point. Franklin Perez is the guy who's always talked about, right?
Oh, God.
Perez can't be healthy, but Perez is the next guy. And now we've got this influx, you know, Manning, Scooble, Mize, who have kind of all cemented over him. Do you have any hope for Perez? What would you tell? What would you tell dynasty owners who own Franklin Perez?
I actually said I see his future as a reliever, not as a starter. And I feel pretty confident in that. I just don't think he's been able to stay healthy enough to prove that he can be a long-term solution as a starter. He's one option left.
That's all
one
he's
got. Option left.
One option left. Zero MLB time. One option left.
Man, see, that's
putting Detroit in a tough spot.
That's what I'm telling you. I think he's got the stuff to be a good reliever. I really do. So if he could, this is another guy, if he could slide into the pen, because they have so many starters that they could use or possibly will use, I think that's where he makes his mark here. Otherwise, I think there won't be much of a Tigers career for Franklin Perez at all. I really don't. If I were you, I assumed you got Perez in your dynasty league for not too much. If it's a new dynasty league and if, you know, it's a brand new draft, you took a flyer on him. I assumed it didn't cost you that much because he hasn't had a lot to go on. So right. I would say, you know, whatever. Franklin Perez, I expect nothing from. If anything happens, it's a bonus. That's how I currently see the position there.
All right. And then my Scooble Manning. What are your thoughts
legends.
On those guys?
They're legends. I mean,
interesting.
Manning's the best.
Chisel them into the upper deck. You're starting to put the numbers in for them. Yeah.
Put them right next to Ernie Harwell. Absolutely. It's a done deal. No, so
go ahead. Sorry.
Yo, go ahead, please. Go.
I was going to say, let me ask you this on the Matt Manning point. Like, Matt Manning has been my guy of these three for the entirety of their development.
Me too. Me too.
And I there's very few of us that have believed that. I love Casey Mize. I really do. Tarik Skubal is the one that scares me the most, although I have watched two of his outings in the spring, and it's slowly changing my mind because I have been out on Skubal prior to this spring. Okay. Because there were some things I didn't like, and I'm seeing a little bit better location on a couple pitches that I was concerned about with Skubal. Mize is having
the fastball. The fastball, yeah. Right? I mean, isn't that where the thing start? Isn't the issue with Skubal? Is his fastball like a meatball or not? Well, right? Even though he throws it hard.
I think
people couldn't catch up to it in Double A, so he got a million Ks.
Yeah.
And now it's a matter of, are the MLB hitters just going to tee off on him?
My concern was he couldn't get it in on the righties. That was what I was really worried about with Skubal at the major league level. And to Robbie's point, like that's, you get away with that stuff at the minor league level. I love selling early on pitching prospects. I love being in early on pitching prospects, and I love selling just behind that mark. So Skubal is a guy that I probably would have got out on and might've been wrong on. And that happens. So you kind of answered my question in our discussion, because I was going to ask, like, when did you flip on Manning? But you said you've been in on him all along. So, because most people were Mize, one of Manning or Skubal, and then whoever you had left, right? Very few people had Manning at the top at the beginning of these three guys building up.
I mean, I'm a Tigers fan, so I was more aware of who Matt Manning was. I do have that advantage. And I heard some great things. I saw great reports reading from the minors, what he was doing over in the west side of the state here and then beyond. I've been very impressed with it. And Mize is the, you know, he's a college-ready pitcher. He was the number one overall pick, and he has this killer splitter, and he's got the stuff and yada, yada, yada. But there's been slight injury concerns there. And also that was the case with Skubal. He already had a big injury. And he was also kind of the underdog, like coming from a smaller college and all that stuff. To me, Manning just seems to fit this consistency more than the other two. And that's,
he's got the frame.
Yeah. He's definitely the frame. I mean, you could say Skubal does. I mean, Skubal's a monster. He's huge, but I just think that consistency is where I separate the three. And we're talking about three good pitchers here, three very special pitchers. So it's not like we're up Schitt's Creek here. It's just a matter of,
but you forgot to mention Drew Hutchinson. So you're talking about the four.
Oh, wait, by the way,
keep forgetting Drew Hutch.
Two innings this spring.
Oh, he does have some. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
4.5. Yeah, 4.5.
So that's only one run. I did the math. That's one run.
Not bad at all. But yes, Manning, I've said this on another show. I think I was on the Nasty Cast a couple months ago. We were talking Tigers, and I said it then, and I'll stick to it now. Matt Manning is my favorite of the three, and I just think he has the profile, but they're being so careful with him because
high school.
Why? Is that why? Is that the really only other reason?
We saw it in Toronto when they had Aaron Sanchez. It wasn't Stroman, but it was Sanchez and whatever, two other pitchers. And they used to piggyback them. Nope, but that ended up, it was Thor. You're right. It was Thor. It was Sanchez, Thor, who was traded for Dickey. But they piggybacked
Nicolino
was Nicolino, thank you, who went for Mark Burley. So the deal was to keep innings down. One guy would get whatever it was, 3.5 or 4 innings or something. Then the other guy came in and did it. And they were taking their time with the high school guys, which I thought was interesting. And we were all going to see how this experiment worked out. But then they traded 2 of the 3. So we didn't get to see it fully come. And then Sanchez came up and Sanchez was like solid. And then they were worried about his innings. And then he won an ERA title and then hurt. So we didn't get to really see it happen. But with Matt Manning, that's kind of the thing, right? It's just like Mick Abel for all the Phillies fans out there. You got to be careful because we could be, you know, 16 was Manning's draft year. He still has not appeared. So you could be 5 years removed from when you just drafted him in your dynasty leagues really high because you're like, that's my guy. And like you just said, Michael, you're a Detroit guy, so you know about him. So you've been okay to be like, yeah, he's, you know, he's moving along. He's with the Seawolves or Sea Dogs. Seawolves. Yeah.
Portland I've been to the Sea stadium. Dogs. That's the Portland Sea Dogs.
There, yes. Thank you. I've been to the Erie Stadium. Love it. There were no games, and I just had to look through the fence.
Remember the Tigers used to have an affiliate in London? That was a real thing.
A long time ago.
And the last Simon, who was the Jose Lima? Were here.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
The last pro team,
baby, believe it.
But so the pro team in London, Ty. What was the name of the last pro team in London?
The Rippers.
The Rippers. After Jack the Ripper, they were part of the Frontier League. And they played less than half a season in London. And then the owner dissolved. It was like a whole mess. Every so often, whoever has the Facebook account posts something about them. And then like a bunch of people, I don't want to say 500, a bunch of people comment and say, where's my money for my merchandise? Like, cause they ordered things that never came. Cause the logos was pretty cool. I liked it.
Wow. I'm so glad I asked that. That's cool.
The PR attached to it was not as good.
It was horrible.
Though.
It was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Jack the Ripper thing. But
they couldn't get a liquor license for Labatt Park, which is a beer based park. So
that's
anyway.
A damn shame.
Yeah.
I do have the team photo of the 1993 London Tigers in our office for work. legit. One of our clients actually played on that team. shout out Mike Longley, who did some coaching with as well.
Hey, Longley, Luke Longley, is it related to Luke Longley or no?
Nope.
Okay.
Mike. Well, Longley.
I only say that. I only say that because Matt Manning's dad played in the NBA, Rich Manning. So that's a fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a there you go. The athletic athlete. Background there. Yeah, athletic background.
So. Okay. Well, let's continue the background athletic talk with the outfielders here, because there are two non-roster invites in Jacob Robinson and Danny Woodroll, who are 26-year-olds within the Tiger system, drafted in 16, just behind Manning. They could be depth. You're close to the camera, or you're close to the mic. I was waiting.
I'm listening. I'm just passionately listening. Sorry.
We also
that was
have
weird.
Daz My Cameron, who came over in a trade from Houston, who has just not got it done.
Cameron's son.
Correct. Yes. You won a prize. The prize is you're a Tigers fan. Akil Badu, Rule 5 pick this year, who, Michael, you said before we started recording, appears to have a chance. And Derek Hill, a prospect of note to you, a 2014 signee. We go back further. We've got everybody's dynasty favorites in Riley Green, who was a first-round pick in 19, Parker Meadows, first-round pick in 18. Sorry, second-round pick in 18. And then the guys from the 2020 draft, the only one from the 2020 draft who's listed as an outfielder is Daniel Cabrera, who is a second rounder. Everybody seems to like him. And there are a couple J2 guys, Jose De La Cruz and Roberto Campos, who are from the 18 and 19 class respectively. Are you happy with the outfield potential you see here? Do you pay much attention to the outfield potential?
I do.
Yeah.
I love Riley Green. Like, I am such a fan. I cannot wait to see this guy make his debut. I actually wouldn't be surprised if he makes a debut this year. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Seriously. I own him I have one dynasty league I'm in. It's very, you know, it's full on dynasty. And yep.
I have him forever, no contracts.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. There's no money involved, no salaries or anything. So it's just
keep forever.
But I have him, and I don't want to let him go. I believe in him fully and completely. And I'm so excited to see him in a Tigers. He's probably the guy I'm most excited about of all, even all the pitching prospects. I want to see, because I really believe he can kick some serious butt. He made that catch last year in the prelude to the opening of the season. Remember when they were just like playing games in Comerica right before the short season started? They were exhibition scrimmage games. And he robbed CJ Cron of a home run over there, left field wall at Comerica Park. It was a great catch. It was like the catch of the day. Okay. And you could also say that about Derek Hill, I think, was the other guy that made another catch in center field during that same stretch. So the defense here, these guys are defenders, and Riley Green's bat is totally legit. So I'm a big fan of him. And as far as Akil Baddoo being someone who's going to make the roster, I think it's a done deal. I think he's won himself a job here. I don't know if it'll last, but he's won himself a job.
And there have already been Rule 5 guys getting sent back. So sorry, Ty, I didn't mean to cut you off.
But I don't know how you cut 1400 OPS on a Rule 5, right? That's more than you could ask for. Yeah, I agree. And maybe you just straight up cut Robbie Grossman and be done with it. Move on.
I don't think you're cutting 14 million. So here's a quick question for you too, Michael. Ty, I'm sure I know the answer for you. Brock Dethridge, best name in baseball?
Hard to argue. I mean,
no.
What?
Hans Kraus, baby.
Oh, you give me Hans Kraus.
He's an evil villain. Like, give it to me all day as a pitcher.
Death big, Rage. Pitcher. His name is, if you slow it down, Death Rage.
Take out the E and it's full on Death Rage. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's a new Mortal Kombat coming out. You know, my son's name is Raiden. I didn't think of the Raiden character at
You're
the
serious?
Time.
His name's Raiden.
His name is Raiden.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you. My wife and I couldn't agree on a name. And I had said, as long as it starts with an R. So I said, you just can't use any of the other 25 letters to start the name, but figure it out. So she said, Raiden. I'm like, done. And then that's what it was. So her grandfather's name was Ray. So we call him Ray, but other people call him other things. So, but anyway, Death Rage. Come on. What's wrong?
You don't
with
twist
it?
My arm. I'm in.
How do you know? How do you know it's not pronounced Deet Herridge?
Because we make the call until everybody knows who they are. We make the call. So third base depth. This is odd. This is one of the few teams that has somewhat legitimate depth at third base, more so than other positions. Wenzel Perez, Trey Cruz, Christian Santana. Santana is a J2 guy who's very under the radar.
17 years old. That's pretty young.
There were a lot of guys that got bigger signing bonuses than him, but he was the biggest guy that Detroit gave money to this year. So he's on the list. Now, J2 success rate, if you don't know, is less than 8% from the top 30 guys who sign every year, which means essentially, I've done the math. It's pretty sad. If you go to robbiebaseball.com, I've written about some things that are very depressing. And
I'm gonna do that
that's
right now. I'm going there right now.
Colorado prospects are another one that's very depressing. And Jeff Hoffman is one of my optimistic guys. Thanks to
the Reds. He could be a closer. He could be the closer this year. Who knows?
He could also be SP4. We will see. That's so true. He didn't have a great outing last Saturday, but that's okay. Anyway, so they've got a few guys from the last year in Cruz and Santana who are interesting picks, and then Perez further back. And then when you move to second base here, second, third, I guess you got Isaac Paredes, Nick Quintana, who I feel is a forgotten man. Tell me I'm not wrong. When Detroit was sucking and getting worse, they drafted Nick Quintana in the second round, or Quintana in the second round. And then last year they drafted both Colt Keat and Gage Workman. And then everybody forgot about the fact that Quintana was a guy who I thought out of college could have been a fast riser, but then we didn't get to see him play last year.
So, yeah, that's actually one guy I don't know a lot about. You got me on that one.
Okay. I was happy with him as a pick before. And then with Isaac Paredes, it's Paredes, right? I'm saying that correctly.
I actually thought it was Isak Paredes. I really did, but
I love that.
I heard it pronounced that.
I hope it's Isak. That's way better.
I would like to put beside. I'm going to put a little note in there of Isak, because if you've heard it from the announcers, I'm sure they took the time to ask the player.
Yeah, but I also thought Wilson Ramos was 38 years old, so I don't know. So go slow your roll.
But that's a number.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the benefit on the pronunciation. I'm going to Hurt John the number. So anyway, you had said Cody Clemens was a guy that was of yeah. some note. Because
I hate Roger Clemens, but yes, I said it.
I think it's Casey Clemens who's the guy who was his brother. K-A-C-Y. I think that's what it was. But anyway, Cody Clemens is 2018 second round draft pick. Somebody to look at for this year. Again, do you feel yourself that the fact that we didn't get stats from 2020 sucks and we got like these minuscule reports from alt sites and, you know, that's absolutely, like, you know, it's something that I think is going to make for dynasty owners this season so amazing that as soon as we get into like July and August and teams are like playing at, you know, at all these, the new, you know, new homes for different teams and things, we're going to start to see some really important information. Like the next five Ayers arenas that pop up are all going to be at AA moving to AAA quickly, or all at these alt sites that just get popped up to their team. Do you think there's anybody in Detroit that could be one of those guys that just kind of pops up and surprises us all?
Well, I want to give a shout out to a guy. I haven't even mentioned this. You know, I wrote a fanatic.com. That's my website. I run with some fellas, and our prospect guru, Michael Richards. He's a great, nice fella. He's getting into the game. He's not some legendary mm-hmm. prospect guru like you guys. So he's less known, but he told me that he really believes there's going to be a lot of call-ups this year that are going to blow people's minds because a lot of weird things happened last year at these alt sites that we have no idea.
It wasn't reported.
Yes. Yeah. Like, and it was actually a benefit to some of the even younger guys that got to face guys they wouldn't have normally faced right away because they were at this alt site. So he really got my mind stirred on that. And he was saying with some conviction, and he's a pretty soft-spoken guy, we'll say this, but he's like, I tell you now, I really think there's going to be a lot of radical call-ups that are going to surprise a lot of people this year. So stay tuned. So I've kind of been buying into that a little bit. And I think anything is in play. I really do. That's why I think a Riley Green being called up this year is not crazy.
Okay.
Because it's so chaotic now. That you guys know this. You know it better than I do. This no minor league season has really just, it might have actually damaged, I maybe it's too strong to say this, but it could have damaged some potential careers that would have been better off with a year of minor league service.
I agree. I think there were a whole bunch of college guys that got drafted, got decent signing bonuses, went to the Pioneer League for the rest of 19, and then did not get an assignment in 2020, but they needed it because those are the teams that, or sorry, the players that would have got a somewhat, you know, aggressive sink or swim assignment, and they didn't get it. And actually, to your point, Michael Richards, I did have conversations with way back in October because he posted some type of a list, and I had just said something to him about, hey, like, I like your list, but I'm just curious as somebody who tries to find people who are looking, you know, to write and do things like that. What's your list based on? Because one of my biggest pet peeves is people who say these are the top umpteen prospects at this position or that position, but they don't say like this is based on, you know, Roto or OBP or quality start. You know, like what are you basing your rating on? Then I had a really good conversation with them. So you got yourself a smart guy there, that's for sure.
Woo-hoo!
And I also heard him on the Pull Hitter podcast with Michael Richards of Baseball HQ, who we had on and had an awesome conversation with. And
he is Nick Richards.
Sorry.
Oh, okay, there we go.
That was also the confusion on the podcast, was that it was hard to figure out who was talking at different times. And then Nick set me straight several times.
Fortunately, we don't have that problem on this show. Yeah, that's good news.
Yes, yeah. So first base depth for the Tigers, back on topic. There's this guy, what's his name here? Spicer... Torrelkelson?
Some doofus. I don't know. It's a waste of time.
Says he was 1-1 in the draft last year. I don't know what that means.
I think the front office got it wrong.
Okay. So when do you expect him to come up, and why isn't it opening day?
Oh, he's definitely got his run in spring training. He's playing a lot, you know. They're having a good time with him there, but they know that you got to send your guy down so he can play at this imaginary alt site. I don't know. It sucks. It's just, you know why he's being sent down. I don't need to explain it to you guys.
Right.
He's sent down for oppressive purposes. And then there's no spot at the moment because they've signed all these logjam middle of the road trash players. So he'll be stuck in limbo for a while.
Do you think he gets at bats this year? Yeah.
Yeah. If the Tiger season goes badly enough, I think he really, they'll be like, oh, people really don't like us anymore.
Because that would be an achievement. Like if he comes up,
it would be
a year after he's drafted. That would be like what, Nico Horner? Kind of like, you know, that would be a really fast.
I love that optimism.
More often with pitchers that happens than hitters, right?
Yeah, I have that percentage at zero.
Yeah, you're probably
the realistic. Like,
who's the guy in the Royal when the Royals won the World Series? They had that guy from TCU. I think he was drafted that year.
Brandon Finnegan.
Finnegan.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. So,
and then look at Garrett Crochet. Right?
Garrett Crochet last year, he was drafted and he played, right? So it happens with these relievers maybe a little bit more often, but. So you're probably right, Ty. There's probably no chance he comes up this year. You're probably right.
Well, what's the reason to rush the contract, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, what do you gain? Yeah. Like, that team's not ready to win around him. I think his destiny is paired with Riley Green's. Like, I think you're going to see them assigned to the same level, and I think they'll play together, and I think they'll come up together.
Well, Toronto,
I think my fandom
did.
Got to me real quick. That's what happened there. I got too like excited for a minute, and I'm like, yeah, why not? Spencer Torkelson's coming up this year. You're right.
We have been there. Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yeah,
won MVP
that's what I was just
going to
say.
In a row, so we're like, good.
We saw the Biggio, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Vladdy, Bichette. You know, they all kind of were supposed to be the core of the next Toronto wave, and that all happened pretty quick. Like, Lourdes signed a 6-year deal and came up a year and a half into it, I think it was, because he came from AA, skipped AAA, and went straight up. And he was the first guy of that crew that came up. And then it was like, oh, okay, so they're going to be aggressive. But we were forgetting the fact that he had already signed a deal that was like locked and loaded 6 years. So for the Jays, it was kind of, you know, like put his feet to the fire, see what happens. But from this aspect, the only guy we're not saying or speaking of so far in Detroit is the second round pick from last year, Dylan Dingler, who is in camp as a catcher this year. And I mean, he
went
also
to Ohio
has a
State
great name.
Though. That sucks.
Yeah.
The Ohio State, I do believe.
Yeah. Oh, it reminds me of Dirk Diggler, by the way, from Boogie Nights.
That's I get to. Yeah.
Imagine a catcher with one. Anyway, inappropriate.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, the one thing that Detroit fans have to look forward to is that you have the pitching core coming. You've got a couple offensive pieces in the organization that are going to be major league studs. And you have deep pocketed owners that will spend when it's time. Right. And everyone looks
at
you.
Do you believe
that,
Michael? Oh, it doesn't look. The listeners can't see
your
face.
But let me finish. So Houston is the one that everybody attaches to the burn it down model. Like, Detroit was that team long before Houston was ever that team. Whether they did it with all this stolen analytic data from St. Louis, I don't know. But they burned
it
all down.
It was just emails, Ty. It was just emails.
So they burned it down with like epically terrible seasons long before Houston ever did it. And then they built championship level teams. So they're on that path again. And then they went and spent money to get the guys to go with that core. I think they'll do it. They might do it as soon as next season. I don't know that any of the shortstops would sign in Detroit. But if I'm Detroit's front office, I'm spending the mother load on any of those shortstops if I can get them.
Story to Detroit. You heard it here first.
Yep. That'd be a great fit for Detroit.
I think we're getting to that point where something needs to happen now. Like, the waiting period of being awful is starting to come to an end. So turn this absolutely corner. This is I think we're literally in like the transition time where something has to start budding, you know, blooming. We need to see him some type of, I know we had 2020, it was all messed up. So throw it out with the bathwater and the baby. Apparently you throw the baby with the bathwater. Is that how that saying goes? Very strange
I
saying.
I think you remove the child.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Don't throw the baby. Okay. And also like, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. That's a weird saying too. Anyways, yeah, it's really weird. Like, hey, here's another way to skin a cat. And in the
end, as a chef who knows how to butcher a lot of things,
And
we have two cats. They are 18 years old. The thought of that is disgusting.
Well, maybe you should know how to skin them when they die. So
this right here is why all of our listeners listen to the end of the episode, right? They're just hanging in for these key points that come up late in our episode. So
you're right, Ty. You're right. Everything's been said. It's all been discussed. In the end, this is a team that's on the brink to start making forward momentum. No more screwing around. We want to see not a winner. We want to start seeing the plans take to shape a little bit more. And that includes guys making headway and getting called up. And that's why Tarek Skubal should be a part of the opening day rotation. It gives us a sign of like, all right, we're starting to make some progress and we want to show you we're serious now. That would be a big sign. If Skubal makes the opening day roster, that will be a big plus. And I will be more optimistic and I will go on my pod and say, all right, Tigers, I'm in. I'm buying into what you're doing here.
Okay, so this is my final question for you. Over under Detroit, I was already told that this over under is too high. 77 and a half wins. Where are you? Over, under.
Oh, that's under all day.
Yeah, okay. I got a
way too high.
Okay. You know, CJ Cron signs in Colorado and his ADP jumps like 100 points. And then I'm looking, yeah. I'm like, well, you know, Nunez, there's some other guys here. Maybe they could win 78 games. All right, fine. Okay.
The Tigers started off well last year, right? And they like, oh, they were like fighting for a playoff spot possibly, but right. They cratered off in reality setting.
The ceiling is 75, in my opinion.
Okay, so you're 75. What do you think?
That's the ceiling, Michael. That's the ceiling. That's not what I think they're going to get.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say is their peak in the over-under? Like,
yeah, if they won 80 games, I'd be like, wow, that's surprising. That'd
be very surprising.
Yeah, but they actually have a lot of parts here.
Right.
So maybe it's not that great. I don't know. Maybe
it's
not
a train wreck. It's just how are they going to put them together? Because they've got their better pitchers are their prospect pitchers, not their MLB pitchers. And some, it appears to us that they have two decent bench option outfielders, depending on what they want to do with Badu, but obviously Reyes. And there are parts to move around. So
that's why I was saying
77 and a half.
Yeah, we're being too insular here. Yeah, because when you look at the division they're in, then you got to start saying, whoa,
they're
going to
beat up on each
whoa,
other. They're all going to beat up on each
no,
other.
Yeah, but
no,
that means
the White
they have
Sox
to win
and Twins
30
are going
to
dominate.
Yeah, it means they have to win 30 games in their division. They're the fifth best team in that division. Like
they are the fifth. Thank you. The Royals are better than them. They are.
I agree 100%.
Royals lineup's Royals actually offense. pretty yeah. sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, Tigers, they're the worst Tigers team in that division.
Yeah, Tigers Royals are going to be the team in 3 years. Like, it's going to be fun to watch.
And the White Sox will be World Series champs by then, probably.
Probably.
Two times over.
They have to dethrone them, yeah. The Twins will still never win a playoff game, of course.
Right. But they'll be veteran-laden and ready to go.
Oh, sure,
IL.
Yeah. They'll maximize the dollar, no doubt. Yeah, look, they could – if you're right. When we start looking around the division and the rest of the league, and they don't just get to play the Central, they got to play everybody, but they're going to get roasted up pretty good, even if there's some type of cohesion that is brewing here. And I would love to be a fandom fest and be like, yeah, 80 wins. But you're right. If they have 75 or more wins, that's pretty damn surprising.
Yeah.
Okay.
I realistically think it's 64. I think they will just beat the 100 win mark.
Yeah, I think
the 100 loss mark, sorry.
Okay.
I think, if they lose 90, their losses should be in the 90s. And if it's 100, I'm not going to be surprised just because the competition is steep. The AL East is good. I mean, the Blue Jays are up and coming, and the Rays went to the World Series, and the Yankees, the Red Sox are not bad. The AL is stacked, man, so
the
Tigers
AL
are in trouble.
The AL East has horrible pitching. That's the problem. There are individual pitchers who are good, but collectively there are probably only 10 pitchers out of the 25 suspected starters. That I would actually be interested in owning.
But one more year of painful losing, though, gets them one of Kumar Leiter or Jed Fabian as well, too, right? So, that's the rest of their core right there. You know, like, they have everything they need in the organization with one more year of losing. They're not stupid. They are not going to run out the kids to win extra games that they don't want to.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really good closing point. Well said, Ty.
So I like that. Let's leave a compliment to me that never happens on this show. So let's just leave that there. Michael, we want to thank you so much for coming on. And you're welcome back if you're going to end with compliments. That's 100% always welcome here.
Well, we didn't sing. We didn't sing. So he's got to come back.
I mean,
absolutely.
Also, yeah, you might not get welcome back next time if you sing. I will say that.
But Ty, he can hit the notes.
Okay, all right. Then maybe Rob's out entirely.
Oh no! What did I do? We got to do a duet. I was actually thinking about coming on the show. We didn't have a duet ready, so next time that's just a reason for me to come back. Which I would come back anytime because I want to start talking AL East now. I want to start talking like preseason. I want to do like four more hours here. So I really enjoy talking with you guys. And you know, truth be told, most of the people I talk baseball with in this community, I do enjoy it. So it's not like it's unheard of, but. Yeah, you guys are local too. We got this connection here, and you guys are Canadians that are close by. And my girlfriend's Canadian. I love Canada. I'm a Michigander. Michigan's basically Canada in a sense. Hello, that's right, Leanne. We're thinking of you. So yeah, you guys name it, I'll be there. I'll talk Tigers. I'll talk Turkey. I'll talk whatever.
Wonderful.
We appreciate it,
and we do appreciate it. It was awesome from our side as well. We look forward to the next time. But until then, it's been Rob and Tyler on Dingers.
This is Dingers, way more than fantasy baseball. We keep it real when we talk and knock it straight out the park. Let's see the stats. What's the average draft position? What kind of plays you making? Check the wins above replacement. Check the lineups and the points. This I gotta see. What's your path to victory? Are they aiming for a dynasty? Get points going head to head. Please don't do me no favors. We're always watching waivers. Ain't no minor league. This is major. Yeah, Dingers. Let's go.